Thanks for downloading the South Everett Foursquare podcast. This is Pastor Chris Pepler, and you've joined us for our Life with Jesus series. This week, we take a look at what it means to be salt and light, examining our own lives for examples of people who have faithfully proclaimed the gospel. You can find us every Sunday morning at the Village on Casino Road at 10:30 a.m., or visit us at our website, southeverett.org. Thanks again for downloading, and enjoy today's podcast.
Psalm 66, starting in verse 1. Shout joyful praises to God, all the earth. Sing about the glory of His name. Tell the world how glorious He is. Say to God, how awesome are Your deeds. Your enemies cringe before Your mighty power. Everything on earth will worship You. They will sing Your praises, shouting Your name in glorious songs. Hey, we're going to do this together. We're going to sing joyfully to the Lord. We're going to shout His praise. We're going to testify of His goodness. I want to draw your attention then to verse 16 as a bit of a challenge for the rest of our gathering. Come and listen, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what He did for me. I want you to look to the person on your right, look to the person on your left, and I want you to make a commitment that you're going to tell them something good that the Lord has done for you at some point this morning. It could be something He did this week. It could be something He did this year. But something good. And remember, every good and perfect gift comes from God. So if you're debating, was this good thing from God? Yes, it was. Was my coconut shrimp from Azul last night good? Yes, it was. Was it from God? Yes, it was. Amen. All right, let's stand and worship the Lord together.
Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds Thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, Thy power throughout the universe display, then sings my soul. Send Him to die, I scarce can take it in. Man on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul,
like
like we're talking about this year, this life with Jesus, it's one thing to know what he did. It's one thing to know what he taught. It's another thing to know him intimately. And so again, our prayer for me and for us this year is that we would develop this robust curiosity about who Jesus is. Who is he really? What is there about Jesus that I don't know yet? You ever think about a friend or a spouse or someone you're in relationship with that you've known for a long time, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere, you find out something about them that you didn't know, and you're like, oh, that's kind of cool. The risk of being close with Jesus or close with anyone in relationship is that we just become so familiar with them, we stop being curious. That this year we would continue to look at the gospel with fresh eyes and say, wow, I want to know him. And I don't want to just know about him, I want to know him. And when I'm in the scriptures, I want to deeply imagine like I was there, like John was there. And so what I wanted to do as we get started and we wrap up this 5 weeks in the Sermon on the Mount is to show you this 3-minute clip that kind of gives a summary of the Sermon on the Mount from The Chosen. So go ahead and check this out.
Please feel free to find this clip from The Chosen in our show notes today.
May we never graduate from the Sermon on the Mount. May we never graduate. May those words, I just love the way that those who heard the words looked back at him. Like, are you serious? Do you know the condition of my heart and my soul? Are you serious, Jesus? That you would call me into something that would require so much of you to see it come to pass? The words of Jesus, the life rhythms of Jesus should mess with us. That we would come to them with humility, but with anticipation that by his grace and by the power of his spirit, it would all come to pass because of him and not us. And through the Beatitudes, what Jesus is doing is establishing the characteristics of a person who would be marked as one of his followers. Through the whole Sermon on the Mount, he is displaying the characteristics that if lived out, people would look and say, that's one of his guys. That's one of his guys. That's one of his gals. Well, how do you know? Because look at the way that they're living. Who lives like that? Who does that? The things that Jesus challenges us to do. To be a Christian means to be a follower of Christ. My name, Christopher, means Christ bearer. And to follow Christ means to embrace and exemplify a life which aligns with the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount. So specifically today, we're going to see what these attributes produce as they pertain to the proclamation of Jesus through our lives. I saved this little portion for the end of our study in the Sermon on the Mount because I really feel like it's the mouthpiece for all that is to be cultivated in us as we wrestle with the things that Jesus has called us to. And some days we succeed, and some days we get to the end of the day and we're like, wow, Lord, wasn't a whole lot about my life today that exemplified what you talked about in that message, but by your grace, I have again to try tomorrow. And so we work it out. We work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And then there's this mouthpiece. And Jesus says this, not about what we do, but who we are. You, in Matthew 5, 13 through 16, Jesus says, you are, not you have, you are the salt of the earth.
Amen.
But if salt loses its saltiness, How do you reinfuse it with salt again? How do you do that? If it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? You see, it's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put light under a lamp and put it under a light of a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I was thinking about this week because this world in which Jesus ministered to in the flesh was a world that existed before the advent of refrigeration. There was no refrigeration. It was a world that existed before the advent of modern medicine or artificial light. You see, salt and light, while still incredibly valuable today, imagine your
day without some salt and artificial light. It would dramatically change your day on both accounts. Just go to lunch with no salt. It's in everything. We're kind of addicted to it. It's salty. We want it. It creates thirst. You see, this week as I started thinking about the attributes of salt and light, do you know what the cool thing was? People came to mind. Because when Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world, some people should come to mind about those things. So I want to tell you about these attributes, and with each attribute, I want to tell you a little story about a person who has been salt and light for me. So salt was a preserving agent. Again, no refrigeration in the days of Jesus. So to keep meat from spoiling, salt would be packed into the meat to preserve it and keep it from spoiling. You see, those who are empowered by the Holy Spirit are ambassadors of both grace and truth. And when we are added like salt to a particular place or a particular people group, that person is there to keep that space from spoiling. In the lives of many people, this means that we're just going to hold space and time for people as they come around to experiencing Jesus in the right time. We got a picture of a preserving agent. You all went, oh. Which proves the point. Tyrone's been on Casino Road for 23 years. When we went into COVID, in the first few days of COVID, we're all spinning our wheels. We're trying to figure things out. We can't be together. We can't hug. But we can talk to each other. And Tyrone was like, what are we going to do? Everything about this ministry is predicated on being together with people. And the Lord gave me a vision about Tyrone. And I woke up one night. I don't usually have dreams that wake me up at night, but I had this dream that I woke up, and I pulled into the parking lot of Horizon Elementary, just two doors up, and the parking lot was empty, the school was empty, because no one was there, everyone was home, COVID was happening, except for Tyrone was cleaning some stuff up, or getting things fixed up, but he wasn't getting ready to run club, he was just running chairs back and forth, kind of in the courtyard between the gym and the library, and there was a handful of kids, five or six kids, middle school age. And they were standing around like, what do we do now? And they said, is there club tonight? And I said, I'm sorry, there's not, this is COVID, I don't know what it is. And they said, well, is Tyrone here? And I said, well, yeah, he's right over there. And they said, well, then we're fine. And that was the dream. And I shared that with Tyrone. Because Tyrone is a preserving agent. He's just here. It's not so much what he does, and he does some pretty amazing things. Through the efforts of this congregation and others, some really great things happen, but it's not what happens, it's who is there. And Tyrone has just been here. He's a preserving agent, like salt packed in meat, to just give it time to come around. Because Tyrone is also patient, like the Lord is patient, not desiring that anyone would fall away, but everyone would come to repentance. Preserving agent. Salt is a preserving agent. Salt can be an influencing agent. Salt adds flavor and intrigue to the experiences others have with Jesus through us. The experience that people have with Jesus, like, wait, what? Who? What? More than the Jesus that shows up on Time magazine every other year at the grocery store. More than that, wait, who? Who are you and who is he because you are? Who is he? Flavor and intrigue. You see, when we take a bite of something that has been well-seasoned, just think of a time you took a bite of something that was well-seasoned. Stop and think about it. Re-experience it right now. Think about the coconut shrimp from last night, Chris Norby. Think about it. God is good. The shrimp are good. God is good. It's like a sensory explosion in our whole being. Do you know what it is to taste something that's just out of this world? And we stop and we go, That's how it ought be when we encounter salty believers in Jesus, that people would just stop and go, That they would do that, that we would do that. A well-seasoned meal captures our attention, it captures our imagination. Just, wow. You've been around these people, right? You know who I'm talking about. Who are the people that, because of their influence, really capture your attention? Who are the people you're just like, wow, wait a minute. They got my attention. I'll tell you another story about Pastor Habden. You've met him. He was here. This is a friend that was introduced to us through Christiane. He works, they're co-workers together with
World Relief. Pastor Haptam lives up north and he works down south, a little bit like Chris does, but he works in the Immigration Detention Center in King County, where people from all over the world, for all different reasons, end up in the United States. Some are allowed to stay, some are sent back to where they come from. But whether they stay or come back, they have an opportunity to meet with Jesus through the person of Pastor Haptam. Hundreds and thousands of salvation, hundreds and thousands of baptisms, people coming to Jesus. And Pastor Haptam, when he came in here, he just wanted to share about the goodness of God and salvation. And I remember sitting right here where John was and thinking, wow, that guy's an influencer, like more than a social media influencer, someone who is influencing King County and Snohomish County for the glory of God. And I just thought, Pastor Haptam, what a guy. What a guy. So salt preserves, it influences, it can be a healing agent, right? You pack salt in a wound before modern medicine, maybe still even today. You see, what at a biological level, what happens is that the salt forces the liquid in the cells out. And as that liquid comes out, oftentimes if there's bacteria in those liquids, that's forced out as well. So salt can be a healing agent, helping cleanse the skin, but more than just the skin, it's true about physical healing, but also emotional healing. Here's a picture of Cheryl Penn. She's home with Jesus. We shared about her when she passed away 2 years ago in July. And she's walked with our family for years and years and years. She can't see with her eyes because she was blind as a bat. But she could see the supernatural things of God. And more than just about anyone in my life, when I think about emotional healing, relational healing, Cheryl was there. She is the one that reminded me that I'm a human being, not a human doing. And that I'm not a reconciler. I'm a child of God who holds the office of reconciliation. That's the last thing I heard her say to me before she passed. A healing agent. You know, salt can be a warming or a thawing agent, right? When things are frozen, like sidewalks, we throw salt on them. And for whatever chemical reason, the salt dissolves the ice. I don't even know why that is, but it is. And I would suggest the same thing can be said about the condition of a person's heart. When it's hard, there's a saltiness of life that's defined by Christ that can melt a hard heart and bring peace. Here's a picture of my friend, Pastor Daniel Tien, Chris's dad. That was on a road trip to Spokane a couple years ago for a conference. I don't love long prayers. I mean, I just, like, I'm a human being, but I'm a human doing, actually, still. So, like, I like to do stuff. And prayer sometimes in my mind slows down the doing. Come on, somebody, right? So sometimes these long prayers, I'm like, come on. God knows. We got stuff to do. When Pastor Daniel prays for me, he could go all day. I kid you not, I don't care what's on my calendar. As long as he wants to pray over me, I'm going to sit there. Because he's just got this, like, he just kind of melts down whatever that hard-heartedness is that doesn't want to sit still with Jesus. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. Who are you, Lord, that you would create my friend Pastor Daniel? Just a phenomenal human. Foursquare pastor. Pastors in Kirkland, the Mandarin-speaking congregation. Fantastic. When we think about light for a moment, we could actually think about light for a long time. We just think about light and what light does. But light, we know this, is an illuminating agent. Light brings clarity to both identity and purpose. When we can see, we know who we're with and we know where we're going. If we turned out all the lights and put you in a totally dark room with no light, you know who you're with, you know where you're going. Bumping into each other, you don't even know who it is. But when we can see, when we have clarity, everything changes in terms of our understanding of what Jesus has called us to. This is my friend Dave Coblin. This is kind of how Dave is. Sometimes he sits on a ladder and makes proclamations about things. Dave's been a part of my life for almost exactly 6 years. And he is the one that helps me understand what it means to be a human, not just do human things. But to be in my identity a Christ bearer and an abider in Christ, but then one who also understands what do I do as a result of that. Dave is my coach. He's like an older brother to me, like way older brother. He's 20 years older than me. But we talk, we interact on things related to Casino Road. He lives in Jacksonville, Florida. He's praying for this community every day. And what's going on with Foursquare, what's going on with coaching, and he makes that possible for us. So I think about that. And then lastly, I think that light can be a gathering agent, especially back in the day. If it was cold and it was dark and someone lit a fire, guess what? Everybody come to the fire. Light can be a gathering agent, too. It brings warmth. Light exposes darkness and illuminates God in our midst. When I think about a gatherer in our community, I think about Rachel Kittle. Anybody know Rachel Kittle, Leadership Launch? Her and her husband are spending, and their kids are spending a year living in Costa Rica, but they developed a whole set of tools to bring reconciliation between kids at Mariner High School and kids at Kamiak High School, doing projects together to serve the community. She knows everybody, and she loves Jesus. And she's a gatherer. I think about these people. So then, it really comes down to this. If we are to be salt and light, if we're going to be the salt and light of Jesus that he's called us to be, and here's examples of people who have done it, and I'm sure you're thinking of your own. But if we are going to be the salt and light that Jesus has called us to be, we've got to know two things. One is we got to know who we're with, and we got to know what we're here for. You see, because when we think about influence and we think about light and visibility, the flesh wants it to be all about me. Me. Right? The me monster. You guys know the me monster? The me monster that wants to make everything about me and look at me and my following, how many followers I have, how many friends I have, how many things I do. You see, but any motivation less than making Jesus known, when we think about salt and light, any motivation less than making Jesus known will leave us with salt that has lost its saltiness or light that is trapped under a bowl. When it's about us, it loses its ability to make an impact for the kingdom. We've talked about salt. Let's talk about light again here for a minute. Let's look at what Jesus said. He said two things. This will be up behind me. As it pertains to who's the light of the world. He says in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. And then he says in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. And so just like last week when we saw what Jesus said in Matthew's gospel about judging, what did he say? Don't judge, right? Don't judge, lest it be used against you. But then in John's gospel, we see him say, well, judge rightly. So which is it? Don't judge or judge rightly? Matthew's gospel says one thing, John says another. We see the same thing happening again. In Matthew's gospel, we hear that we are the light of the world. In John's gospel, we hear that he is the light of the world. So which is it? Or is it both? Could it be about intent again? You see, just like we are to serve with the right heart, like we're to pray with the right heart, that we're to give with the right heart, that we are to judge with the right heart, all things that the Sermon on the Mount instructs us about, we are also to influence and shine with the right heart and motivation. It's not about the what, it's about the why. Because the what can be really, really healthy or really, really toxic if the why isn't solid. See, to be a healthy source of light in the world, it requires a willingness to abide in Jesus. Because any salt that shakes loose from us apart from Christ is like salt in the eye, like an irritant. Like, who would want to volunteer for me to just come and just drop salt in your eye? That's the wrong... Justin, apparently. Keep that in mind for some time. Salt, if used with the wrong motivation, is a horrible irritant. But with the right motivation, it's something entirely different. Any light that shines in us apart from Christ is merely the glowing orb of pride and ego. If the light is shining and it's not got Jesus at the core, it's just this, oh my golly, this person. It's just so, there's so much of them. They're so, just too much. So question one, again, we talked about these two questions. Who are we with? As it pertains to salt and light, who are we with? Well, we're with Jesus in the healthiest motivation. We are with Jesus. We are in Christ and Christ is in us. Those realities
at once. Think through that. If I am in Christ and Christ is in me, then I'm surrounded. I'm encompassed.
There's nowhere I can go where he isn't. John 15, 4 and 5 says, remain in me as I also remain in you. So he's in me and I'm in him. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit, which is the goal of the sermon, is that we produce good fruit. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Who are we with? We're with Jesus. Christ in me, me in Christ. You see, this was never about me, the influential piece. The salt and light piece was never about the follower of Jesus at its foundation. Because if it becomes about me, all the motivation shifts and good fruit becomes toxic fruit, i.e., the teachers of the law and the religious people doing all the right things for all the wrong reasons. Don't lose your salt and don't lose your light by making it about you. Jesus in John 17, the second question then, who are we with? We're with Jesus. Second question, what are we here for? It's a good question. If we know we're with Jesus, what are we doing, Jesus? And where are we doing it? John 17, 13 through 19 says, I am coming to you now, Jesus says, in a prayer to the Father from the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before he goes to the cross. In anguish he prays while his disciples are asleep. And he says to the Father, I am coming to you now, Papa, but I say these things while I'm still in the world. I'm still down here, but I'm talking to you. I say these things while I'm still in the world so that they, being his disciples, may have the full measure of joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of this world any more than I am of the world. My prayer, Lord, Father God, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of this world, even as I am not of it, but sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Set apart. That's what sanctified means, set apart. You see, this is the question. We know who we're with. Now we know what it's about. It's about going into the world, being in the world. And Jesus is asking this question about salt that loses its saltiness and light under a bowl. What good will we be in the process of cultural transformation if we've lost our countercultural edge? How will we be a part of bringing change to the world if we're not a part of what's happening in the world, if we don't know what's going on in society? Whether or not we like it or not, knowing what's happening on TikTok, maybe if you're trying to reach a generation who is consumed 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day by what's happening on TikTok. That's not for everybody, but someone's got to know. Someone's got to know, how does Jesus apply to these places? What good will we be in the process of cultural transformation if we've lost our countercultural edge? If we don't know how to go into that space and be different and call people to something that is higher? You see, if we think like the world, and if we speak like the world, and if we act like the world, what will we have to offer the world by way of presenting a new way to live? We got to be there, but we got to be different. The Father says that, Jesus says, I've sent them into the world. They're not of the world, but I've sent them into the world like you sent me into the world. There has to be something different. We can't just blend in. That salt that's lost its saltiness, that's light under a bowl. But also, if we think like Christ, speak like Christ, act like Christ, what will we have to offer the world if we exit the world? If we have all the saltiness, if we have all the light, but don't engage the culture we're in, neither is good. To be in the culture and to act like the culture, or to act like Christ and be removed from the culture, neither of those paths lead to transformation. We have to be salt and light, and when we go there, we're going to stand out, and anything that stands out often gets pounded down. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world, Jesus says. You see, I think the full measure of joy that Jesus was praying about here in John 17 includes, but is likely not limited to, living in the tension in a world where we do not belong. Living in that tension of living in a world where we do not belong. That's going to create tension. It'd be either easier to be Christ-like and disengage it, or non-Christ-like and fully engage it. But we're called to be different in it, salt and light. This means building relationships with people we don't agree with on really important things. Think for a minute about the worldview that, when it is espoused in your presence, makes your blood boil. We've all got one. What would it be like to build a relationship with someone who espouses that worldview? And not argue about the worldview, but just get to know who they are. Because acceptance does not equal agreement. But if we can't be in the presence of those who hold worldviews that are so different than ours, then how are we going to be salt? How are we going to be light? It's hard. These things Jesus has called us to do. Build relationships with people we don't agree with. Love those who choose to hate us, and lift up our enemies and pray for them when they persecute us. Did you see the looks on their faces when Jesus was telling them what the sermon would require them to do? Did you see the look? That's the way that we ought to be challenged by this set of messages from Jesus. The question, why would we want to put up with this tension? Why would we want to put up with that? That doesn't sound like something that I would love to do in my flesh. Why would I put up with that? Well, it's easy, because the world can then identify a reason to change. Brennan Manning, he said this. He said, the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, walk out the door, and deny them by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. It comes down to these two questions. Who am I with? What am I here for? I am in Christ, and I'm here to live a countercultural life that brings Jesus all the attention. Him. All the attention, not me. If I'm going to do a good deed like Matthew 5:16 says I ought, I want to be noticed for like a nanosecond, enough to get someone's attention to see me and bounce their eyes to him. That's what it means. You're going to see me long enough to see him and give him the glory. Craig S. Keener is a theologian in the United States. He talked about his conversion to Christ. He said, until my conversion in 1975, I professed to be an atheist in part because I looked at the roughly 85% of my fellow U.S. citizens who claimed to be Christians and could not see that their faith genuinely impacted their life. I looked at a bunch of non-salty, light-diminished Christians, and I couldn't understand why what changing to be like them would offer me. He said, I reasoned that if even Christians did not believe in Jesus' teachings, why should I? My excuse for unbelief, and the excuse of many other secularists I knew, continued until God's Spirit confronted me with the reality that the truth of Christ does not rise and fall on the claims of his professed followers, but on Jesus himself. You see, even if we're doing all the right things for the right reasons, even if we're doing that, we need to make sure that if people look at our lives, they look at us for just a second and see him. Follow me as I follow Christ. We wouldn't even notice. People's lives around us are just changing. The examples of the six people that I gave you were people that, when I look at their lives, I just see Jesus. They're humble. They don't make things about themselves. They're constantly looking out for the good of other people. And they love Jesus more than they love their own notoriety. That's salt and light. Our good works cannot ever point to ourselves in the end. Our right attitude can't point to ourselves in the end. Our right belief can't point to ourselves in the end. Our beliefs and our attitudes and our actions have to be compelling enough and countercultural enough to catch the attention of others, but humble enough and bold enough to make sure that Jesus is the one that people see. That's it. That they would see him, and they would be different because of him, and that they would go up the mountain one way to hear a message and come down somehow entirely different. Matthew 5, verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, the Sermon on the Mount. And right at the end, he says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teachings because he had taught with one who had authority, not as their teachers of the law. Don't teach like those who want the attention drawn back to themselves. Teach like one, live like one who wants God to get the glory because he saved us. Lord Jesus, we gaze at you, at your face, Lord. We want to be transformed when we look at you. We want to be transformed when we hear you. We want to be transformed when we touch you, that we might proclaim the word of life. It's not about me, it's him. It's Jesus. Lord, as we are beacons of light and shakers of salt, Father, may it be about you and for your glory. God, thank you for those who have influenced to live a way that is more like you. And God, use us to be that for others who follow. In Jesus' name. In our small groups, just two questions. Who showed up as salt and life in your life enough that compelled you to follow Jesus? And then secondly, what attribute of salt and life do you feel like you best embody? Right? So if that's about preservation, or that's about influence, or that happens to be about healing, or it happens to be about warming, or it happens to be about illuminating, or it happens to be about gathering. Which attribute do you most identify with that you can share with other people? So those two questions, who influenced you, and then what's the best way that you can influence others to salt and light, all right? Enjoy your groups, enjoy your week, enjoy some sunshine, put on some sunscreen, and have at it. In Jesus' name, amen.